Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com columnist, insider. He is standing by on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, my friend?
Huge. I'm doing fine. I think I'd rather listen to your show than anything I have to offer. You're really going good there, brother.
Well, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you're a Stafford hater. I said, no. I think the quarterback always is the lightning rod for the success and failures of a football team at any level. I don't care. High school, college, pro, the quarterback gets the heat. The quarterback also gets the biggest contracts and all the love. And my feeling on Stafford was that he was part of an era, as I mentioned, with Johnson and Sue, and Schwartz seemed to be getting it right. And then it just, whether it was players or coaching or front office meddling, who knows, they just sidetracked. And we've seen that where we're like, okay, they're getting it together. Just like we watched the last, you know, half, six games of the year this past season. And then it just, it reverts right back. And that's the guarded pessimism that I have when it comes to the Lions until they prove me wrong. And Stafford, at least for one game yesterday, proved a lot of national pundits and myself wrong and some people here in Michigan. And I really hope he does win the next two games.
Well, I've watched what he did. Now it's a different stage and different, you know, different things that are at stake or not at stake. But I've watched that performance over and over. I've seen it, I don't know how many times. So it really wasn't anything new to me. Just the circumstances are different. And, you know, the second week of the playoffs are different than the first week, and the second week is different than the third week, which is he's going into next week because that's a chance to get to the Super Bowl. But like I said, I've seen Matthew Stafford do that since he did it. I think it was on Thanksgiving Day as a rookie in 2009. That is exactly the way he's wired. It's for moments like that.
Yeah, I said it's a better team and it's a better coaching staff and a better front office than he had to work with in Detroit. It's really that simple of an answer.
Yeah, I don't know about the coaching staff so much. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at that. I thought Jim Caldwell really had it going pretty well here in Detroit. You know, he had three winning seasons in 4 years and really had a good handle on his players and, you know, and how to motivate them and you know, really how to win with them, although I did not disagree when they let him go. I just thought he'd got it as far with this team as he was going to get. As it turned out, the mistake was who they brought in to replace him. You know, no disrespect to Matt Patricia, but it just didn't work, and it wasn't going to work.
So if you're Dan Campbell and the staff, and you watch what was the greatest weekend in the NFL with those four games, and you look at the four teams, or the eight teams, and then the four teams that advance, you're asking yourself, what path, where do we need to go to become an NFC champion? I know we'd just love to see a playoff game in Ford Field and a playoff win, but in building a franchise, not rebuilding, building, because you rebuild champions, they haven't been a champion. What do you think is realistic from what you watched where Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes say, this is where we need to go?
Well, like you said, you need to add speed and, you need to solidify the quarterback position. Is Jared Goff, is he the quarterback? You know, when he arrived last year, it wasn't exactly this time, but pretty close to it anyway, with it making that deal. I just thought, like everybody else, based on what I heard, because, you know, I don't really follow the Rams that much. I see them play from time to time. I didn't have any really line on Jared Goff. But from what I heard, you know, the buzz was that he was going to be here for 1 year, maybe two, because of his contract. The Detroit Lions would go ahead and get their quarterback. And I sort of thought he played that way for, you know, 8 weeks or 9 weeks or something like that. Then things, I think, you know, huge things kind of changed for him in the Pittsburgh game, even though they, you know, only got a tie out of it. Now, he played hurt, you know, just about all of that game. And I think that's sort of kind of it showed something to his teammates. And I think from there on, he took, you know, I wouldn't say giant steps, but just, you know, maybe baby steps week by week by week by week, except for the time he was out. And I think there's a chance, I'm not saying it's automatic, that he might be the quarterback for the next 5, 6, 7 years. Now, look, he's only 27 years old, so he has that on his side, and he has playing experience on his side. And I think he kind of meshed with his receivers. I think there'll be a lot of new ones, and as there should be. But I just think that Goff, right now, going to training camp in 2022, I think he has probably the best chance to be the quarterback for the foreseeable near future, which would be, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Now, it all could come unraveled in a flash. I've seen that happen too, but that's just my take on that. And if you had your quarterback now, It's a huge head start on everything you're trying to do, because you don't have to, number one, you don't have to look for a starting quarterback. Number two, you don't have to start negotiating. You don't have to, you know, bring in a $40 million quarterback on free agency or whatever, or train, you know, training a draft pick. That would be just, to me, that would be the best thing that could happen to the Detroit Lions, for that to work out.
They're almost hemmed in, and if I use that word correctly, that when you look at Goff and the fact that this number two pick, because you hope you're not picking top 10, let alone top two moving forward, that there's not that franchise quarterback out there. There's not the next Joe Burrow. You know, you could take a flyer and hope you hit on like a Mahomes, but there's not that guy, at least right now. Stafford was an overall number one pick, so his success really kind of was dictated by how high he was drafted. And Goff will have to be the guy. So I kind of, when I mentioned the eight teams we watch this weekend, I think the Lions' blueprint will be more like the Niners or Titans in terms of where they're going to go.
Well, I think one thing to look at is you look at these teams, and I think Andy Reid's at the top, really. Their quarterback, I'm not saying the quarterback, their staff has been around a while. They're established coaches who've really, you know, they're in firm control of that football operation. And I think, look, Dan Campbell can't do that in 1 year, and he probably can't do it in 2 years. But at least he's got a start on that. And I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that that team plays for him and his staff. And that's, he established that early on. It's just, you know, he's got a way of connecting. And you know, he's got a way of looking people in the eye when he talks. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't, he's got his own way of, you know, he's just got his own sort of folksy way of talking. But he's making sense with what he says, and people listen to him and they react to it. And I think, to me, that's a huge start for any coach. Probably one of the hardest things for any coach, and why they fail and why they succeed, is their ability to stand in front of a room of people and get their point across and have people follow them and do what they say. And it's whether you're talking to your one position, like three quarterbacks, whether you're talking to the offensive room or the entire staff, the entire roster, or just your staff of assistants, you've got to be able to command that those moments when you're doing the talking and they're doing the listening. And I think he's really good at that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But, you know, I think this team will be built more like, you know, could I say Goff could be a Garoppolo, Tannehill level type guy? I think that could happen, especially the way he played. He was really almost a top 10 quarterback in some of the analytics in those final games he did start for the Lions in 2021. But that speed, and that's where you got free agent money. Hopefully you're going to get that edge rusher. Hutchinson and Thibodeau both are fast, athletic guys that can get to the quarterback. And, you know, St. Brown has emerged as, you know, behind probably Chase. He might have been the second best rookie wide receiver right there with Waddle. And, you know, I like everything. I'm just not sure about Campbell calling the plays. But he's the head coach, and he'll live with his decisions.
Well, if he wants to and he thinks he's good at it, then he ought to do it.
He's the head coach.
One thing you mentioned, Tannehill. He mentioned the guy in San Francisco.
Garoppolo,
I'm sorry. I was thinking of somebody else. You know, those are two quarterbacks who are sort of pigeonholed into a role with their teams because of the way they play or the way they don't play. And you look at when they were, you know, when the Titans were in the playoffs a couple of years ago, Tannehill had 7, 8, 9 passes a game, and they just put the ball in the running back's hands and said, you lead us away. You know, you lead us to whatever we're going to be successful with. And Garoppolo's pretty much the same way. Don't mess up the good work the defense does. And, you know, and they've won 2 games now in the playoffs, and he almost threw them both away. Roll out, pass, stop, throw, interception, bingo. First the Cowboys are back of the game. Next, you know, the Packers have a chance to win it. So I think Goff can be better than both of those quarterbacks. Not as dynamic physically, athletically, I should say, as Tannehill, but certainly a better thrower of the ball.
And Henry did not look fully recovered from the injury.
No.
Not at all.
He really didn't. That's a tough, tough team. It really is. You know, there's a team that reflects its coach. I mean, fully reflects its head coach, Mike Vrabel. But, yeah, I would agree with you. He looked like a guy who was ready to play, but he wasn't ready to be himself.
Man, you know, what was Leslie Frazier thinking on prevent defense in that final 13 seconds? Like, they were up 7 instead of the Chiefs just needing a field goal to force overtime. The decision not to squib kick it I know that, well, what if they return it? I look at it, and the play calling defensively, the setup really looked panic mode. They called a couple of timeouts. It was really some of the ugliest 13 seconds of defensive football I've ever seen in the NFL for the most incredible game and what lied ahead in overtime. But that 13 seconds will be remembered forever in Buffalo, right there with four straight Super Bowl losses.
I agree with you. When I was watching it at a place near my house, and first thing I said was, I didn't say squib the kick, but I said, make him return. And I'm not really a fan of the squib kick because, you know, you can get strange bounces on it, but whatever you do, make them take, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds off the clock, and then you win. There's really almost no way you can lose. Just stand out there and do nothing, and you're going to win.
Mm. Can't imagine what Buffalo sports radio is like today.
Well, and, you know, poor Buffalo. Look,
I know.
They won a championship of some kind. I really would. And got a good coach, good staff, good players, good guys, all of that. I mean, this Josh Allen, remember the guy was 4 years, came into the league 5 years ago, that he wasn't accurate? Looks pretty accurate to me.
Mm. He really played well. The best video I saw post-game was right after the celebration in the end zone on the Kelce touchdown. Mahomes ran to Josh Allen and gave him a hug. And that says a lot about Mahomes.
Yeah, it really does, yeah. Seems like a good guy, the kind of guy you like to have leading not just your team but your franchise.
Well, when you got a $500 million contract, you probably are pretty giving and loving.
Yeah, I think I might walk around with a smile on my
face. I'd be hugging everybody going, hey, good morning, Bill. Give me a hug. I got a $500 million deal. Hug me.
Huge. I'd even take your calls anytime.
I would even give you a hug as well, Michael. So let's just find those $500 million deals. And we'll be like Step Brothers 3, the movie.
That sounds good to me.
All right. We love you, Michael. Thanks for the time.
All right, Huge. Thanks for having me.
All right, Michael O'Hara.